I'm talking this evening with Mr. DeWitt McConnell at the American Legion Post in Girard on the topic of World War I. The date is April the 22nd, 1975, and the time is approximately 6:30 in the evening. Mr. McConnell, would you give us a little background, a little biographical information about yourself, where you were born, and how you came to eventually join the service in 1919?
Well, I was born in Jefferson Township, Mercer County, Pennsylvania. I was raised on a farm where I started high school, and I went to high school in Newcastle, Pennsylvania. I had an aunt down there. Then later on, I came over to Girard. I had relatives here. And it was here that I was drafted into the Army. I didn't try to beat the draft. I was patriotic enough that I was willing to go, but that is the way they took the most of them in. I was drafted in April 6, 1918.
Where did you take your training?
We went to Camp Greenleaf, Georgia. We were there about the middle of May. Then they took us to Camp Meade, Maryland. We stayed there till about July 28th, and we went to France.
And what kind of an outfit were you attached to?
Base hospital.
And what kind of
unit? 69. Mm-hmm.
What kind of a job were you trained for?
Well, we were trained first aid. They sort of built us up there. We drilled a lot in the camps in this country. And we got most of our training overseas.
What was your rank at the time that you left the service?
Private first class.
Your private first class. When you got to France, where did you first enter?
Well, we landed at Brest. There was a great number of units there. We were there about 2 days. We didn't have much to eat because they didn't have it for us. Then they put us in a boxcar and they took us to this little town of Savenay, which is between Saint-Nazaire and Nantes. That's where the hospital center was.
You say that you didn't have too much to eat, that they didn't have much for you.
It was because of the great number of troops there that were coming so fast that they weren't organized to feed them.
And what year was this now?
This was in September of 1918.
Mm-hmm. Do you feel that your training as far as the base hospital was concerned was adequate for the type of conditions that you met when you got there?
Yes. They gave us lectures in this country, but we didn't have ward work or anything like that.
Did you have to go over and set these hospitals up yourself?
Yes, that was our first work when we got over there. There were great number of those individual barracks to set up. This hospital was formerly a girls' school, and they added these individual barracks in long rows, and we had to carry the iron beds and all the furnishings set up.
Were there any particular problems that you had setting up a hospital of that kind?
Well, it was hard, heavy work, and everybody wasn't used to that. And some of it was done in the evening, and some of the details was worked part-time and half-time until they got rested up.
Did you find that Were a large number of people coming into the hospital initially, or was it not so much of a rush?
Well, another job that we had at night, we had to unload the hospital trains, unload the wounded, and we carried them on stretchers to these barracks. That was another job that the details hid from part of the time because it was strenuous work also.
How many people did this hospital usually serve yet?
Well, they had about 5,000 patients there now. I don't know. I don't know the how many personnel they had there. They had a large number of units, I know. We had about 250 in our unit.
What would be the nature of most of the wounds that you saw coming into the hospital?
Well, there were all kinds. Face wounds, body wounds. I walked past one of the surgical units one day. They had three barrels sitting there, and they were almost full of arms and legs.
How did you react to a situation like that? Did it take some getting used to?
I was put together, kind of. But that never affected me too much, although I never liked it. But, I could go through with it, and it didn't make me sick or anything.
Did it bother any of the other men?
Well, I suppose it did, but I never paid much attention to it. Another one little pleasant thing about that, we always had a nice little lunch after you got through carrying them to the hospital. Mm-hmm. Something special.
Like what?
Oh, they had some good jam over there, and that's something you didn't get any other time. Some jam sandwiches, coffee.
Did you feel there was anything more maybe that you could have had that would have made it easier to do your job at that time? There's a lot of talk that in World War I there was a lack of supplies. And is there anything that you felt you could have had more of?
Well, part of the time the meals were fairly good, but they weren't like we were used to. But, we were satisfied. We knew they were doing the best they could.
Mm-hmm. Of the men that that you knew and that you talked to, what kind of conversations, what kind of things did you talk about during the time that you were over there? Were most of the conversations about back home, or were they about the things that were going on in France at that time?
Well, I would say both. We had minimal, almost all parts of the United States in our unit. It was very interesting. We had the boys from Brooklyn, we had the boys from Texas, we had the moonshiners, fellows from the West Coast, and I don't know how they gathered them all up that way, but we had an interesting unit.
You said at the beginning of the interview that you were more or less patriotic in going, even though you'd been drafted. Did you find that there were a lot of men that were in the service in World War I who didn't like the fact that they were drafted and were opposed to going to the war?
No, I think they realized that it was very necessary. I never heard many gripes.
Is that right? I'd like to get into the area of the French. The French people, what was your impression of the French people?
We were up in Brittany, that's one of the poorer parts of France. And they had their barns built right beside their houses, right next to them. They had their manure pile in front of the barn, and they The women did a lot of work. You could tell hands were large. And a lot of them wore wooden shoes. And they drove one-horse carts. You see them going with the wood, just small. Looked like bushes to burn. And later on, I got a 10-day furlough down into the Pyrenees. And we saw the prettier and better part of France. I was down there 10 days. So I got to see both sides.
Were the people generally, were they pro-American? Did they seem to welcome the Americans, and were they helpful to you or to, you know, the American
Yes,
soldiers?
They were very friendly. Yeah. I used to go down to their little stores. I picked up a few words. Went in to get a bar of soap one day, and I thought I knew the word, but I had an awful time getting that bar of soap.
At the hospital, did you ever have any experience with people who had been subjected to gas warfare, used to those gases?
Well, I didn't have to work in the wards. I was lucky. Besides setting up hospitals and carrying the wounded, I got to work in the center post office for quite a while. Although I saw a lot of the wounded, but I just never close to anybody I believe that had was gassed.
Mm-hmm. These wounded, the men in the hospitals, what happened to them after they went to your hospital? What became them after they, were they shipped back to the United States, or did they stay there? And
well, they got them, they needed the hospital so badly that they got them treated and out of there and home as quickly as they could. But I understand that some of them would go back to the front.
Mm-hmm. Mr. McConnell, in talking with the men, since you did have some contact with them, how did they feel about the wounds that they had? Or how, did you notice any psychological reactions? Were they afraid? Did they accept what had happened to them?
Well, the most of them that I saw were, I would say, pretty brave. They didn't do much grumbling. I was in the YMCA one day. We had a soprano singer entertaining us. He was shell-shocked. He pretty near went through the roof. They had to get him out of there. That's, I guess they can't take those harsh noises.
What do you mean when you say shell-shocked?
Well, it's a lot of that over there. The terrific strain the bells, their nerves went bad, and just like he was, he couldn't stand that singing at all. They'd get him right out of there.
How do you feel about the things that you saw over there? Do you feel that that could have had anything where they could have done anything differently as far as the treatment of the wounded were concerned? Is there anything that you feel that might have been done better?
No, I think they did a fairly good job from what I could see.
How many doctors were there at the hospital? Do you have any idea how many?
No, I wouldn't know how many. There were.
You mentioned that you went to the YMCA. Were there any other of these social organizations that,
yeah,
that helped out with the hospital?
The Salvation Army was there. They were very good.
Were they?
Yes.
What kind of things did they do?
Well, they gave you donuts, and coffee, writing material, cigarettes sometimes. Yeah, I can speak very highly of the Salvation Army.
You said you had mentioned to me before that you spent some time working in the post office. Would you say that the people back home wrote quite a bit to the men that were in the hospitals? Did they seem to get the moral support from their people back home?
Yes, there was a tremendous amount of mail came through there, also packages. Some of them were broken when they got there, with each, you know. But that center post office was a busy place.
Did you help? Did you have anything to do with setting up the post office?
No, it was there when we got
pretty
there.
Established. How big, when you say a post office, how big a post office was it?
Oh, I would say about 3 times as big as a Girard.
Is there any volume of mail that they handled? You say they handled thousands or hundreds of letters?
Well, see, when there were 5,000 patients there, you can imagine how much mail might come through.
Mm-hmm.
Also to the personnel.
What kind of an effect did it have on an average soldier, you know, getting mail from home?
You ought to have seen the looks on their faces. Faces, yeah.
Really look forward
and
to it?
And the looks on some of their faces when they didn't get some.
That's what I wonder, in talking with some of the men there, maybe in the hospital or people that you worked with, was there a great deal of disappointment when they didn't get something wrong? Were they always expecting something?
A good many of them were. Of course, the mail was delayed. I know mine was.
What would cause the mail to be delayed? Do you have any idea what caused that?
Well, shipping it from over here, everything can't run smooth in these emergencies. And there were delays along the line, I think. I don't know just where, but I know I got one piece of mail certain time, and I got another piece about a week later that I had the month before.
Did this hospital exist now? I don't know if we verified this or not. Where was the hospital located?
Just adjacent to a little town called Savenay, S-A-V-N-A-Y, S-A-V-E-N-A-Y.
How far away from this, from the front would this be? Were you relatively close to where fighting was going on?
No, we were quite a distance from it.
Was there much of a problem in getting the wounded from the trenches or the front lines back to the hospitals?
Well, I never heard that there was. I know they surely brought a lot of them to that hospital.
Mm-hmm. Why do you suppose there were so many wounds and so many casualties in World War I? And it's understandable in any war there's going to be a lot of casualties, but you think they're...
They didn't have the advancements that they have now, medical knowledge that they have now, and many died that wouldn't have died in World War II.
Just from the medical knowledge?
Yes, yeah. Then they were in the trenches with the water and the rats.
The men talk much about what it was like up in the trenches when they were back there? Was there any discussion of
that? Well, they didn't care much about it. And they had the cooties, too.
What are the cooties?
Well, you know, the VFW has a cootie order. They're a little bug with their tail looks just like their head. They wear the pin on their coat. I woke up one morning in the barracks and I heard a lot of the fellows laughing. Began to look around and I knew what they were laughing about because I had a sweater in it. There were thousands of them in that. They just move in from somewhere you don't know where from.
And what are they attracted by?
Well, the warmth, I guess. Well, they had a lot of them in the trenches, the damp.
Mm-hmm.
I had to burn the sweater and wash all my clothes.
Did you have a problem that some, were some of the men in the hospital for things other than wounds? Did you have anybody in there because of things like lice or anything like that from the uncleanliness of being out in the field?
Well, I wouldn't know about that. If I'd have been an orderly in the ward, I probably mm-hmm. would have. But,
yeah. Is there any other type of disease that you can think of that the men might have had that other than...
Well, there was a certain amount of venereal disease. They had one ward over there that took care of them. They made all of those patients wear green jackets.
What was the purpose of wearing the green jacket?
Well, so that they wouldn't associate too much with the other soldiers or other patients.
When you finally came home, what was the situation in France? Was the war over by the time you came home?
Oh yes, the war was really over in November 11th, 18. I came back in July 19.
What kind of things were being done during the period from the end of the war till the time you came?
Well, there were a lot of patients. That's the reason that we stayed there. There were a lot of patients to take care of and sort of a mopping up affair. We couldn't really get away till the next July. We had too much work to do.
How fast were these men processed out then after the war was over? Did they seem to try to send them home any faster than
yes,
they had before?
Yes, yeah, they speeded it up. They got them out just as fast as they could.
What kind of method did they use to take most of the wounded home? Do you have any experience with how they were transported home?
Well, of course, the really badly wounded, I suppose, came by hospital ship, and the others were shipped regular transports, I think. Mm-hmm. We went over, it took us 13 days, we went on a converted German ship, converted to a troop ship. And we came back on a oil-driven ship. It just took us 10 days. Of course, we didn't have to maneuver for submarines coming back.
What kind of things went on the ship on your way over?
Well, they had a big storm going over. I know for 2 days we weren't allowed up on top. And a couple companies down below us held church prayer meetings. They were really scared. And when they finally did let us up, the sailors had rope around their waist so they wouldn't get washed overboard. We had sort of cramped quarters when we were going over, the bunks four high. And when you crawled into your bunk, you were touching the one below you. And we had the packs, and we weren't allowed to leave our bunk without our life jacket on. We had fire drills for abandoned ship drills. We were lucky. We just had one scare on the way over. We had an alarm, and we were all sent to our stations.
You said you were dodging submarines on the way over.
Yeah, they for about 2 days out, we were escorted by torpedo boats. And from then on, we had a cruiser take us to about within 2 days of France. Then the torpedo boats came out and took us in.
Aside from the drills and the prayer meetings and the storm, how did you spend your day aboard the ship?
Well, we were on guard a certain amount of time. There had to be an army man with every sailor who was on guard. Even had to be one up in the crow's nest, man up there.
What was the reason for that?
Why, they wanted the army to share the responsibility. So did many a night guard. I'd say to the sailor, "Can you see anything?" He said, "No." We just here, that's all.
Did you ever see any submarines on the way?
No.
What type of drill did you go through as far as if the eventuality would come that you would sight a submarine? What kind of a...
Well, they rang the bells and we knew just where to go, to a life raft or a boat or something.
Did the men take these pretty seriously? Or
oh,
did
yes,
they,
yes.
They did? Uh-huh. On your trip back, did you find it less eventful or more eventful?
Well, we had a lot more fun coming back because we had more room, and we just coming home was a thrill that made your days bright.
Mm-hmm. You say that you know, coming home you were happier. Makes me wonder, when you were going over, did you wonder what was going to happen when you got over there? What did you think about on the way over as far as what you expected when you got to France?
Well, a lot of us weren't too much worried because we knew we were in the hospital unit and we weren't likely to get up where the shooting was.
Were the people on your ship just in the hospital unit, or did you have others on your ship?
No, we had all kinds of units, infantry.
Did you mix with them at all, talk with them?
A little, but we didn't go to their quarters or anything. We up on deck, yes.
And did you get any feelings from some of the other units about what their anticipation might be?
No.
How did your thinking about what you'd find in France differ from the country when you got there? Were you surprised by anything, or?
Well, we were surprised at the poverty of Brittany, the way the people lived. And we were thankful we got down in southern France and saw that it wasn't all that way.
Mm-hmm. Where did you finally come when you came back to the United States? Where did you land?
Hoboken.
In Hoboken. And then were you processed out of the service at that point?
No, or? We were taken to Camp Merritt, stayed there about a week, and then down to Camp Sherman. We were discharged from
Camp Sherman.
Yes, all that.
Is there anything else that you can think of that you'd like to add to this interview at this point that you may have forgotten? I'd like to thank you, Mr. McConnell, for the interview for the Youngstown University History Department. And if at some future time that you have anything that you'd like to add to this interview, I'd be happy to come back and talk to you about it. Thank you very much.
Well, I hope I've been some help to you.
Well, you certainly have, and I appreciate your cooperation. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.